From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. Senate lawmakers are moving toward a vote tonight on a revised $700 billion financial rescue plan, though from the floor debate it's clear there are lawmakers who continue to have reservations. Vermont Independent Senator Bernie Sanders said there's no way he can vote for the bill, at least in its current form.
This bill does not address the major economic crises we face, growing unemployment, low wages, and the need to create decent-paying jobs, rebuilding our infrastructure, and moving us to energy efficiency and sustainable energy.
But others in the Senate stress the importance of getting a bill through. Connecticut Democrat Chris Dodd, chairman of the Senate Banking Committee, said action needs to be taken, calling it not just a Wall Street but a Main Street issue.
A halt in the flow of money threatens not only Wall Street firms, which would not bring us here today, but what is a danger is the way of life for millions of Americans far beyond Lower Manhattan.
Leaders in both parties are predicting that several sweeteners, including raising the FDIC coverage limit on bank accounts and putting in place middle-class tax breaks, will help speed passage of the measure. It's expected the House will take up a bill on Friday. Even as congressional lawmakers work toward a financial rescue package, one program geared toward helping troubled homeowners is already underway. Aimed at helping prevent additional mortgage holders from falling into foreclosure, the new program would let an estimated 400,000 homeowners swap their current mortgages for more affordable loans. It will be up to banks holding the mortgage to decide whether or not they participate. To qualify, a borrower must be spending more than 31% of their income on mortgage payments. U.S. companies continue to hand out more pink slips in September. That's according to a new report from Challenger, Gray, and Christmas. The number of announced layoffs rose 7.2% last month. NPR's David Nogueras reports.
Most of the cuts came in the computer industry. Tech companies eliminated more than 25,000 jobs in September. By comparison, financial services companies cut just over 8,000 jobs. But those numbers don't reflect the fall of titans Lehman Brothers, Merrill Lynch, Fannie Mae, or Freddie Mac. John Challenger, chief executive of Challenger, Gray, and Christmas, says things will only get worse for the financial sector.
For the year, we've seen over 111,000 job cuts there. It's the leading sector in the economy, and it looks like it's the lull before the storm.
Challenger says troubles on Wall Street are largely overshadowing cuts in the auto industry. U.S. automakers, he points out, have cut 75,000 jobs just this summer. David Nogueras, NPR News.
Major automakers weighed in with their September sales numbers today, and most showed double-digit declines. Ford says September sales were down more than 34.5%. GM says September sales fell 16% compared to a year ago. Toyota sales were down 32%. On Wall Street today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed down 19 points to end the session at 10,831. The NASDAQ lost 22 points today. This is NPR. Jurors at the trial of Alaska Senator Ted Stevens today were shown thank you notes he wrote to an oil pipeline contractor who oversaw work at the lawmaker's home. Federal prosecutors contend the notes show that Stevens was aware he was getting renovations carried out on his Alaska home for free. Bill Allen of Vico Corporation, a longtime friend of Stevens, has testified his company paid for the work. Over the notes shown to jurors also discuss home financing, bolstering defense attorneys' claims the senator intended to pay for the project. Jurors, meanwhile, were sent home early today to accommodate one member of the jury panel. The government alleges the Alaska Republican lied on Senate forms about receiving $250,000 in gifts. National Transportation Safety Board has released new information from its investigation of the deadly collision between a Los Angeles commuter train and a freight train last month. Karen Grigsby Bates reports.
In its latest update, the NTSB released subpoenaed records for Metrolink engineer Robert Sanchez's phone activity on the day of the crash. In the first 2 hours of his split shift, Sanchez's cell received 21 text messages and sent 24. During the second half of his shift, the phone received 7 text messages and sent 5. Records show that the last text was sent from his cell at 4:22:01 p.m. Data recorders aboard the Union Pacific train the Metrolink crashed into indicate the collision occurred 22 seconds later. Soon after the crash, a few teen train buffs told a reporter they'd been texting with Sanchez. The NTSB is continuing to coordinate recorded times from train and signal data and the engineer's cell to refine the exact collision time. Karen Grigsby Bates, NPR News.
And I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.